Welcome to Heightening Headlines, Improvising the News, the improv comedy news show featuring Ryan Charnocki and Alex Shea.
Is this thing on?
Hi, and welcome to Heightening Headlines, Improvising the News. I am Alec.
And I'm Ryan. And Alec, that's not your real voice.
No, I'm not a news presenter.
Are you just going to be a different, going to be a character every time?
I just want to be more American.
More American?
Yeah.
But you have an American accent, right?
Yeah.
Pull it out.
This one.
say railroad tracks.
Railroad. Railroad tracks.
It's like a Southern accent.
I know.
How do you say
it? Hold on. I gotta find it now. Because I've narrated books in an American accent, like a normal one.
You've narrated?
Narrated books. Hi, my name is Alec and I talk like this. This is my normal American accent, and I'm not going over the top. I'm just putting the correct pronunciations on the correct words. Is that better?
That does sound very good.
Okay, good. Because I was starting to get concerned that I couldn't do it.
Yeah,
but I definitely can, because I've done entire books in this accent before.
How are you going to cross the railroad tracks?
With a knife.
The railroad tracks?
Yeah.
Railroad tracks?
Railroad tracks.
All right. You got it. It's really fun to just look up, like, the hardest English words and make all your foreign-speaking friends say them.
They all say that the hardest ones are squirrel,
yeah.
Rural.
Rural, yeah. Rural, railroad tracks. Railroad? Not railroad track. Railroad.
I think railroad tracks is harder in an American accent. In other accents, it's easier.
What's other accents? I can't do other accents. How do you say it in Australian?
Railroad tracks.
Railroad tracks.
Yeah, so you got a lot more space. Railroad tracks.
Railroad tracks.
Railroad tracks.
It's faster.
Railroad tracks.
Faster. Railroad tracks. Brought to you by railroad tracks.
But you also, like, lose most of the word, and it's just railroad tracks. Railroad tracks. Railroad tracks.
I don't sound like Scooby-Doo. Like
railroad tracks.
It's railroad tracks. Everybody knows what you mean. It's also context. There's only one context where you're talking about railroad tracks.
Yeah, if you go up to a boat and you go, railroad tracks, people will be like, what the fuck?
Yeah, exactly. Scooby? What? What's his name? Yeah, Scooby.
Scooby.
Do you have a Scooby-Doo voice?
Ruh-roh. I have no idea.
This is a line of... Okay. All right.
I haven't watched Scooby-Doo in so long.
All right.
I could probably get kind of close. Anyway.
I'm so excited for this today.
Speaking of animals, we got a doozy.
Speaking of animals.
Classic news story from recently.
I think Alec has heard of this. You guys.
It was on, I think it was on Colbert.
Raccoon goes on drunken rampage in Virginia liquor store and passes out on bathroom floor. If that doesn't catch your attention, I don't know
sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, we didn't pick an interesting story.
And honestly, same, been there, you know?
Passed out on a floor of a liquor store.
Yeah.
Where was it, Virginia?
In a raccoon costume. haven't we all done that?
Yeah.
In Virginia, yeah, specifically.
I only get drunk when I'm wearing a raccoon costume.
Yeah. No, it's...
It's like, sometimes I'll be at a party and people will be like, hey, you want a beer? And I'll be like, give me like 15 minutes, run into the bathroom, chuck on my raccoon costume, come out and go, yes.
I love how often you use the phrase chuck on something. You're going to chuck on
Speaking
some
socks. Speaking of accents, that's something I don't know if I've ever discussed with you. Because we use the word chuck in Australia like for tons of stuff.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. No, I've noticed.
So you can chuck something on.
Yeah.
But you can also chuck a whiz.
What?
Which means to take a piss. You can chuck a shit.
What?
Which means take a dump.
Oh. Why?
You can also chuck a sickie. Which is when you pretend to be sick to get a day off.
Chuck a sickie?
Chuck a sickie.
What?
Yeah, that's a thing.
But you don't take sick days. You're a voice actor.
I'm not anymore. I did when I was in school.
Yeah.
Chucked a lot of sickies.
Okay. Let's hear about this raccoon.
Oh, and then one last one. I don't know if people use this one anymore because one of the words I think has been phased out of the... current vocabulary, but at least people used to say chuck a spaz, which would mean to get really angry.
All of these sound not politically correct somehow.
That one I think isn't. I don't know. I left Australia when I think it was phased out because definitely that word is not politically incorrect anymore, but I don't know if in this context it has the same meaning.
Okay.
I've been out of Australia for like almost 8 years at this point.
Wow. Crazy. Tasmania.
Tasmania.
You're the Tasmanian
Which is
devil.
Also like the asshole of Australia. Probably why I've got no idea what is and isn't politically correct.
There all anymore. Our viewers are from Tasmania. What are you doing?
I'm so sorry. All four of you. The entire population of Tasmania.
Say, I was going to say. All right. The people are dying to hear.
About the raccoon.
About the raccoon.
Should I read this one?
Oh, yeah. You read it.
All right. The masked burglar broke into the closed Virginia liquor store early on Saturday and hit the bottom shelf, where the scotch and whiskey were stored. The bandit was something of a nocturnal menace. Bottles were smashed, a ceiling tile collapsed, and alcohol pooled on the floor. The suspect acted like an animal because, in fact, he's a raccoon. On Saturday morning, an employee at the Ashland, Virginia area liquor store found the trash panda passed out on the bathroom floor at the end of his drunken escapade. Personally, I like raccoons. Personally, I like raccoons, said Samantha Martin, an officer who works at the local animal control. They're funny little critters. He fell through one of the ceiling tiles and went on a full-blown rampage, drinking everything. Martin said she took the raccoon back to the animal shelter, though she had her fair share of giggles along the way. Another day in the life of an animal control officer, I guess.
Oh, that's gotta be so much fun. An animal control officer. Like the things you must see.
I mean, I feel like most of them are probably not as fun as this, but yeah. Some of them probably are.
Yeah.
I've seen some pretty freaking wild videos of gators in Florida.
Yeah, true.
The Hanover County Animal Protection and Shelter commended Martin for handling the break-in and confirmed the raccoon had sobered up. After a few hours of sleep and zero signs of injury, other than maybe a hangover and poor life choices, he was safely released back to the wild. Hopefully, having learned that breaking and entering is not the answer, the agency said.
That's so wholesome.
So good.
So wholesome. No, I love how he went for the bottom shelf liquors though.
Yeah.
Like if I was a raccoon, I'm going for the most expensive bottle you got.
I really think that choice was made more out of logistical sense than out of preference for a certain type of alcohol.
There's people that prefer bottom shelf alcohol, but for me, you know, look, and the reason is if I were a raccoon, you can't handcuff me. Because my paws are too small. So you can't arrest me. So I'm going for the most expensive stuff there is.
If I were a raccoon, I would probably take the only alcohol that I think I would be physically able to reach.
He fell out of the ceiling. I wish the store was full when he fell.
Still went on the rampage. He's like halfway through a bottle, he's like, "All right, what are you doing here? I thought this place was closed."
Pulls out a cigarette from his pocket, starts smoking.
You look like my ex-wife. Yeah.
Cheryl, what are you doing here? Cheryl goes, I thought we talked about this. We're not going to talk to each other in public. Bestiality is illegal here. Cheryl, get off your high horse. This is a liquor store.
And get on your high raccoon.
Okay.
I got a durry here as well.
What's a durry? You know,
actually, I think it's
an Australian raccoon now.
I was thinking he pulls out because he's like, get on your high raccoon, and then he pulls out a thing of weed and he gets high.
Honestly, he's got all the drugs.
Probably.
He's the coolest raccoon in Virginia.
This raccoon, I think, is a tiny little celebrity now.
Yeah. He's...
You think they named him?
I hope so.
You think they named the raccoon?
I hope so, yeah. I mean...
I think... Jack Daniels.
It's like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, except the adult version.
Also, what they all have names of famous Renaissance painters, all the raccoons.
Yeah.
Donatello. What are the rest of them? Donatello. Oh,
I didn't know they were named after Renaissance painters.
Yeah. Michelangelo.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I thought the Renaissance painters were named after them.
Maybe. I just assumed.
Yeah, no, he's got a... But I love how his first instinct is not to, like, get out. It's to drink the liquor.
He was probably thirsty, man. He just fell out of his ceiling. It's very...
He knew what he was doing, you know? He knew what he...
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know if he fell out. I think it was quite intentional. It was like... They're masked bandits.
Mission Impossible style.
They're masked bandits.
Got in like a stealthy...
Yeah, so stealthy. Agent. Nobody barely noticed him.
Just didn't get out that way.
Ring, ring.
Yeah, hi, hello.
Hey, Shelby, we got a call. There's like the raccoon in her liquor store.
Oh my God, I love raccoons.
Yeah, I know. Do you mind handling this one? It's okay. Be warned. They said he like is drunk. I don't.
Oh my God. Oh, that sounds so cute. What's his name? I bet it's Johnny Walker or Jack Daniels
or Absinthe. Just get him out of there. I promised them we'd be there in an hour.
Can you take a picture of him?
Well, I'm sending you, so...
Well, but take a picture first so that I can make sure it's a raccoon before I come.
What? We're not going to take a picture of the raccoon. This is contraband, and we need it removed. Otherwise, it could endanger people's lives.
Oh, come on. One little picture. Will you, cute little drunk raccoon. Oh, my God.
Once you get him in the cage, you can take a picture, okay? And then we can discuss. You can name him if you want to.
Can I call him?
Yes, you can.
Beer.
That's the least creative name you could have thought of.
Okay, I'm going to come get beer.
All right, you go get beer. And, hey, sorry about Friday. I hope you don't take it personal.
No, I'm already over it. There's a raccoon now. Cut to the liquor store.
What is that implying? Okay. Just leave it there. Oh, man, I have so many questions. All right. cut to the liquor store.
Off to get a drunk raccoon, and his name is Beer. Oh, hi there, little fella.
Hey, you here to take care of the raccoon?
Yeah.
this is my shop.
You have a way deeper voice than I thought you would for someone so short.
Yeah. That's why I'm 5'5", so I just inflate my voice, you know.
Short king.
That's what they call me. Got to run this liquor store somehow. Hey, he's causing some trouble. Look, I can deal with drunk customers, but a drunk raccoon, I don't know what to do. I don't want to hurt the little guy.
Oh, why don't you just give him a belly rub for me to start?
You are the least professional animal control lady I've ever seen.
I'm just here to have fun.
Don't you have a job to do, miss?
Yeah, but I'm here to have fun.
Where is your badge? And why are you carrying a gun?
Here it is. It says raccoon lover.
Okay. All right. Look.
And then there's a little heart. There's raccoon on the left, and then me on the right, and then the heart.
Look, miss.
And then it says underneath, in a sexy way.
All right. I don't care if you... What, handcuff the raccoon or trap him or give him a kiss. Just get him out of my store. I have business to do, please. And I appreciate your help.
Sir, I will gladly get the raccoon out of your store, but I have my ways of doing it. And...
Are you going to seduce the thing?
No, I want to watch. I'm like...
A voyeurist?
I'm like what you call a cuck.
Doesn't that involve marrying the raccoon and then watching it sleep with somebody else? This is a lot of plot.
I consider myself married to all of nature. And I just want to see you kiss the raccoon a little bit.
No, look, I got a store to run. I got a line waiting. This is my store. I'm the only one working here. If you could just handle the raccoon.
It won't take very long, I promise. And this is the fastest method to get rid of it.
Me kissing, I highly doubt that's the fastest method to get rid of it.
Have you had your rabies shot?
No. I've had a lot of other shots.
Okay. You're going to kiss the raccoon and then you're going to get your rabies shot.
But shouldn't it go the other way around?
It doesn't actually really matter.
Really?
No, it doesn't.
But I thought, what's the point of the shot then?
Well, the shot can still cure the rabies as long as you get it quick enough after getting rabies.
What's that time frame like?
I actually have no idea.
What's the?
I would suggest kissing the raccoon and going straight to the hospital.
Is the efficacy still...
Sir, you're being very difficult to work with.
No, I'm just really into science and vaccines. I really like the whole. I've shot.
That's really not what I would have expected based on your voice type.
No, most people don't. I've shot myself up with a. I make
and
my
also
own vaccine.
The fact that you run a liquor store in Virginia.
I make my own vaccines, honestly.
What? Oh wow, that's a whole new level of crazy. I'm saying that as someone who considers herself married to all of nature and wants you to kiss a raccoon. You're crazy.
You remember that local news story of 100 COVID vaccines went missing? That's me.
What?
I have so many antibodies.
You make your own vaccines, but you also took 100 of the officially sanctioned COVID vaccines.
Oh, I'm juiced, baby. I'm juiced.
Then use that juice to kiss the raccoon.
I ain't been sick since 1986, but the one vaccine I haven't got? Rabies.
Sir, I'm starting to feel like you're not very professional. Scene. What?
I love that character. A short king homemade vaccine.
Like somehow really pro and really anti-vax.
Yeah, he's pro-vax except for the rabies vaccine.
I like that it came in as a character who got more and more crazy, who wanted you to cock her with a raccoon. Yeah. And then you still ended up being the crazy one.
We were like, no, you. No, me. Oh, man. I love the entrance of that. You were like, hey, little guy. What's up?
Well, I thought that was going to be the raccoon's voice.
Well, you thought wrong.
Oh, I love it.
That was fun. Oh. No, I wonder what the raccoon did when he got back to his family. Honestly, he's the coolest raccoon in town.
Do you think he got back and it was like one of those really typical like conservative family, like the husband gets back late and he's drunk, it's like 11 p.m. the wife's been taking care of the kids and she's like, where have you been? And he's like, I was out drinking at the liquor store.
I was actually thinking he's like a church pastor and he's like very very white collar buttoned up, you know, he's like he doesn't do anything wrong.
And very, very tight and taut in his daily life and then goes wild in the night.
Oh, yeah. And he doesn't tell anybody about it. And
do you think it's reversed for raccoons because they're nocturnal? So they're like prim and proper during the night and then go crazy during the day?
How are you prim and proper during the night? During sleep?
Like but they're nocturnal, so they're awake during the night normally.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. So they're proper during the night.
And then he's up all day partying.
Yeah, yeah. Like up all day partying. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like a proper alcoholic.
Yeah.
He was born for this character. Honestly, what a legendary Halloween costume. Be a drunk raccoon.
Yeah. I mean, that's is that just a raccoon? Yeah. Like you're in a raccoon outfit with a liquor bottle? Like
yeah, and then you could, the more drunker you get, the more in character you are. If you end up passed out on the floor, on the bathroom floor, you're like, it's my character, guys. It's my character. All right. Who wants to throw a Halloween party? I got an idea for next year. No, that might be a menace. That's horrible. Because at some point you're like, Ryan, we get it. It's a cute costume. Let's go. Like the party's been over for 4 hours. Like,
you're still here. You're still drunk.
Yeah. It's literally not funny anymore. I'm like, guys, I'm committed to the character.
I have to stay up all day.
Yeah. I sleep during the day, guys. I'm going to get up at night. Becomes raccoon. Oh, man. Oh, yeah.
All right. Do we have a second scene that we want to play based on?
I want to be this raccoon.
You want to be the raccoon?
Or
so are we playing like a day in the life of this raccoon?
A day in the life? Or like, should we do, I listened to an interesting podcast by The Backline. Shout out,
Rob
Adam,
Norman.
Rob Norman and Adam Cawley doing The Backline. And they had an episode about who, what, where, and when, which was discussing how you can attack improv scenes, not from the action, but consider the build up to the action as one phase, or you could do the action itself, or you could do the aftermath of the action. Mm. And both of these add dynamics. We tend to, say do the thing or be in the action. But oftentimes the build up to the actual exciting part is what people want to watch because it's full of emotions and stress and anxiety and heightened tension. So Using that, shout out the backline again.
I recorded a little Christmas message for Rob today, actually.
What? Like, hey, honey, how are you?
Exactly. No, he just, he was like, hey, send me a voice memo with something you're thankful for, and we might put some of them in the podcast. I was like, okay.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
He messaged you on Instagram?
No, email.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, legend.
Yeah. He's great.
So, yeah, this one's for you, Rob. Whatever this scene ends up being, it'll probably be the worst one we've ever done.
For real. Worst improv basics ever. Just like, hi, I'm a raccoon.
And no, you're not. You're a fish.
No, I'm a raccoon, and I'm walking to the store.
Well, if you're not a fish, then I'm a fish, and I'm in the ocean.
Okay, fine, but I'm not in the ocean. I'm in Virginia.
Glub, glub.
Gloob, gloob.
You're not in the ocean, though. You said you were a raccoon.
No, I'm just a raccoon who says gloob, gloob.
Well, that's not fair, because I'm a fish that says glub, glub.
This is killing me. This is killing me. Oh my god!
I think that scene had potential.
There's they also mentioned an improv game with experienced improvisers where
you try to break all of the rules.
You try to break all the rules, yeah.
Then it ends up being really funny. I do it really sometimes in warm-ups when I want to mess with like whoever I'm warming up with, where we'll be doing, you know, like freeze tag or whatever it is, and I'll come in and I'll just like block as hard as I possibly can. And it's always hilarious, and it always breaks any stress that anyone has. Because it's like, I've already done, like, the thing you never do.
Yeah, true. It'd be fun to do in front of an improv audience, like, just a blocking scene.
That would be a good short-form game.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
World's worst improvisers.
Yeah.
And we just, like...
we could just
do a scene where we try to block it, like, just do as bad improv as we possibly can.
It's giving, like, movie genres where it's, like... student film, that was so funny. That was so funny. I was dying. Oh my gosh. When you guys did student film, and I think Tim was just laying on the floor.
He's like, Can I get up?
Yeah. Oh man. I missed that game. I like directing that game more than I like playing. I love making my friends do funny things.
Directing and director, you are just as much a player as anyone else.
Oh, totally, yeah.
It's a super fun role.
Totally, yeah. Anyways.
So, yeah, raccoon.
All right. Yeah, let's...
Day in the life of this raccoon.
Yeah. All right.
So, wait. Is the raccoon getting home, or are we doing like maybe the raccoon's on his way home?
I like how you're planning out the improv scene. Just the definition.
Well, we're
improv.
Talking about the whole thing of like, where are we attacking it from?
Right? It was just to consider, you know?
Oh, sure.
No. I'm thinking myself. That's why I'm getting, lashing out on you. I'm trying to consider.
I appreciate the, self reflection.
Yeah, no. I'm like in my head trying to like asking that question to myself. Okay, cool. I think I got it. You ready? Hey, honey. Good night. Do you want a cup of coffee? I just woke up. Honey, it's already 10 p.m. You got to wake up.
You are out all day again.
Look, you know, I have things to do. I was hanging out with the boys. You don't understand.
You got back at 4 p.m. Woke me up.
Yeah.
Ruined my sleep.
Yeah, but hey, I slept great, honestly.
You know how much your wife needs her beauty sleep.
Babe, you look beautiful anyways. Look, not a wrinkle. Look, your rings are more beautiful than any raccoon in this town. In this whole state. Are you growling at me?
I don't believe you when you say that anymore.
You know I like it when you growl at me. Hey, Chandra. Look, have you, did you steal the neighbor's trash yet? Their lights went off.
I stole some last night.
What'd they have? I think I saw them throw away a pizza box.
Yeah, old pizza, some banana peels, a couple of used condoms. Already licked those clean.
What? That was totally unnecessary, Chandra. Look, do they have any, doesesn't matter. Do they have any, Was there any like water bottles or bottles, glass bottles or like any liquids? What? No, because water for the family.
I'm not your drink boy who collects your liquor so you can go out drinking with your goddamn raccoon friends.
Again, no, I'm not talking to...
Bobby is a bad influence on you. He always stays up so late in the day.
Dude, Bobby is so cool. Bobby knows all...
Bobby doesn't have a job.
Yeah, that's why he's cool. He can hang out all day long.
He hangs out all day drinking Jack Daniels and...
Yeah, and then he sleeps during the night. He's like a human, dude. He's so cool. Sorry.
Maybe you should have married Bobby then.
No.
Steven.
Babe, I love you. I love it when you growl at me. You know that. And nobody steals trash like you do.
I don't believe you anymore.
Look, Steven, can I make it up to you?
I'm questioning our relationship.
I
can't be here taking care of our two children, Mick and Mock, without you.
Mick and Mock are great. They're so smart. You
don't need a father who's always drunk.
I'm not always... Look, it was one time, okay? You know I'm in RAA, Raccoons Alcoholics Anonymous. RAW, for short. I'm doing my best. I'm on step four.
What happens in step four, Stephen?
It's when you think about stop drinking.
So when does the stop drinking part of the 12-step program happen?
Oh, it's not a 12-step program. It's a 38-step program.
Oh, my God. Damn it.
By
Stephen.
By step 36, you stop drinking. And then 37, you can have one drink. And then 38, you're pretty much done, unless it's like... a beer, then that's okay.
Oh, Steven.
It's not the most effective
program.
There's
too many steps in this program.
No, but I'm on step four. I'm thinking about it,
that's
okay?
That's like barely 10%.
Yeah, it's been a hard 4 years to get here.
It's one step per year. Raccoons don't live long enough for you to complete this program, Steven.
By the time I'm 38. I'm going to be down to just beer.
We're raccoons. We only live until we're 12.
You can have dreams. Look, modern medicine does wonders.
Not for raccoons. It's mostly for putting us down. Generally because we do things like drink human alcohol and get into trouble.
At least I don't drink condoms.
I'm sorry, but that's not hurting anyone.
What? It's hurting me.
How?
Have you ever thought about that?
It's human.
You should go to RCA.
What is that?
Raccoon Condoms Anonymous.
That sounds like a whole different program.
Anonymous.
That sounds like for sex addicts, which I'm the opposite of right now because you are so unattractive when you're drunk.
Is that why... Be honest. Is that why you went to the condoms?
No. It just tastes good.
Okay.
I'm a raccoon. They're humans.
You disgust me. Honestly. And...
Steven, I think we should get a divorce. Because clearly we're not seeing eye to eye on either of these issues.
You're telling me this now?
Yes. I told you last night, but you were drunk.
No, I...
Gonna take Mick and Mock.
No.
Gonna go to Tina's place and they can play with Tick and Tock.
No.
You can hang out with your...
Bobby?
Cupid Bobby... Bobby and Randy and Chipper and Stick.
Babe, I don't want to lose you.
You can get drunk and you can party all day and sleep all night and you can live like a human since you love them so much.
Babe, I even got you a cigarette because I thought I wanted to do something special for you. It's a cigarette butt.
I do love the taste of old cigarette butts.
It's got about 2 to 3 puffs in it.
It's still lit.
No. No, but that's my guess. I saved it for you because I wanted to do something special. Look, I'm sorry. I'm working my way hard through the 38-step program. And my advisor says step four in 4 years is pretty good, actually.
Look, Stephen, I could be convinced to give you one more chance.
Please, please, babe.
We can sit around the table as a family and we can all eat the cigarette butt together. But you have to skip some steps in this program.
Fine.
You gotta jump to the step that says not to be friends with people who are a bad influence on you.
That's step 17.
Does that step specifically say, fuck Bobby?
That's the step, yeah. That's all it says. Just fuck Bobby.
He has quite the reputation in the raccoon community.
It's the same step for everybody. It's fuck Bobby. Babe.
As in, make him go away, not sleep with him.
Not sleep with him. That's a different program.
Right, that's the one you recommended
for
me.
That's the one I recommended for you.
RCA.
Babe, do you remember when we were dating, when we first met in our first year? We used to hit the bar.
We licked that man's foot together.
Yeah.
Because he was barefoot on the beach.
We made out inside the trash can.
Yeah.
Oh, just pizza boxes all over us and chip bags.
Wet fish. Outdated fish.
And you threw a baby's diaper at me and I laughed.
And then we licked it clean.
We licked it clean. And then I remember what I said. I said,
what did you say, Stephen? What did you tell me?
I said, I want to be with you for the rest of my life, just like this poop on this diaper.
And then I dipped my nose in the poop, and then I booped your nose, and I did a poop boop.
And then we...
we did a little poop boop.
And then we had our first kiss.
And then, yeah, we did a poop boop, and then we had a kiss.
And then it was only like 3 months later that I proposed to you with...
and with I was already 2 months pregnant at that point.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's another story. But yeah, remember I took you to a fancy restaurant. It was the Reva, the Walmart. The Walmart and Reva shared a dumpster.
Yeah, we broke in through the ceiling.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And
we were on the news.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We have quite a penchant for being on the news. And remember what I proposed to you with that it was an old boot. It was a piece of a boot.
Tell me what you said, Stephen, with that boot.
I said, you stink more than any other woman in my life.
And then I put my nose in the boot, and I booped your nose, and I did a boot boop. A little boot boop.
Aww. So I just remember when we were happy, you know? And I want to be happy again with you. Can you give me one more shot? Please, I promise.
Then let's get together for the family dinner. Let's share that cigarette butt you found and
thank you.
Do a butt boop.
Thank you.
I'll touch my nose on the cigarette butt and then touch your nose and I'll do a butt boop. Scene.
Aww.
Cute, funny, and
gross.
Weird. Gross.
That was the cutest gross scene we've ever done.
Butt boop.
Oh, man. I love the raccoon as a character is such a fun character to play with.
Yeah.
Because there's so much inherent contrast in a love story among raccoons. From
the perspective of anything that's not human, because the things that they do and the things that they use and...
But I'm thinking of the... Considering raccoons are notoriously into trash and dirty stuff, that I think that's what makes it interesting.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like pigs. It's like the stuff that they care about is going to seem weird to us, right. But through the lens of a raccoon kind of makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Raccoon love.
Your name is Betty?
No, you gave me... What was the name you gave me?
Man.
It was like a weird name.
Do you ever... I shouldn't admit this, but often I just forget the name that I called you and then I just stop referring to your name.
I do that sometimes.
Jenny? Was it Jenny?
No, it was like...
Wonder if we recorded
this. Something with lean at the end, I think.
Okay. Yeah. This is an exhilarating conversation.
that's why I kept your name really simple Steven. And then I picked an easy name for the kid, yeah, Mick, and I was like, I'll make it easy because if I can remember Mick, I'll definitely remember Mock.
Yeah, Mick and Mock. That was adorable. Also very fitting for raccoons.
Yeah.
And we got back together.
Do you know the story about, there's a Reddit story about this guy who got kicked out of a wedding because he wanted to bring his pet raccoon and the bride said no, but he did it anyway. And he brought his pet raccoon, whose name was Pebbles, and put a little bow tie on him and then went to the wedding and then got kicked out because he was told not to bring the raccoon.
No.
And then he was riding on, am I the asshole for bringing my raccoon to the wedding, even though I was told not to.
No. How many of those stories do you think are made up on Reddit?
Like, probably at least half.
I think those are some really interesting discussions, especially when you have like a split audience, because it's almost always overwhelmingly like for the person, or in case you don't know, Am I the Asshole is where you post a story about a situation in your life and you upset some people and you're asking the internet for advice about if you're the asshole in the situation and you should apologize or if the other person is being the asshole. And oftentimes the Reddit comments are just overwhelmingly like, oh no, you're absolutely right, or you're definitely the asshole. Like, they're one side or the other.
Yeah, it's usually one side or the other. It's also usually pretty obvious. Yeah. But occasionally you also get verdicts of everybody sucks here, in which case both people are the asshole.
But the really interesting ones are when the people are split. And some people are like, yeah, you're the asshole. And some people are like, you're not.
Yeah.
That's...
Sometimes there's a lot of nuance to them. But yes, sometimes it's very easy to tell when they're fake. Other times it's like it could go either way. But then sometimes there's ones where it's like, this is so crazy, it has to be real.
True.
There's no way somebody could have come up with this chain of events in this way without it having actually happened.
I mean, that's improv, right? You kind of... Like, I think if you cultivated that skill, it'd be so much fun to cultivate the skill of, let me try to figure out scenarios that I could post on Am I the Asshole that would split people, you know, honestly. Mm. That would be one of the hardest things to do. But I think it would be really valuable as an improv skill. Because imagine if you're doing premise-based improv to come into a scene with, like, a very morally dubious situation, where half the audience was on your side and half the audience was not.
That would be an interesting show.
That'd be such an... That could be like straight up theater. But that'd be such an interesting show, yeah. Mm. Also, what could be really fun is to take some of these scenarios from Am I the Asshole and use it as inspiration for an improv scene.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I've thought about doing that before as well. I mean, I guess that's, in a way, that's kind of the goal when you ask for like a story of the audience from the audience, is to try get... A story from a personal true story from someone that's in this same kind of spirit.
Yeah, yeah.
But obviously the chance of getting something as juicy as some of the best I Am the Asshole stories is difficult.
Yeah, yeah.
But sometimes you get stuff that's wild.
That's very true.
We literally did a show yesterday where someone said that there was 3 dead bodies found in their small town.
Yeah, for real.
And then we had the other one where there was the guy whose hobby was to go and look at vineyards in Italy and pretend to be interested in buying them.
Yeah. I think finding an interesting nugget from the audience is on the improvisers. I think that's that's a really fun skill to dig. And because everybody has such interesting lives. I think one of the coolest things of improv and art and comedy in general is that you realize how interesting life itself is.
Yeah. And then also it makes you realize like how easy it is to have these interesting things happen and then just like... They just like whiz off into the distance and you're like, no, my life's boring. All that happened today was I fell off a motorbike and like ripped my throat open.
Totally. I mean, I think it's like if you imagine the life story of some famous person and you're like, wow, they had a crazy life. I think that could be made for every single person on earth, because I think in a way, a lot of what I'm doing with comedy is an examination of human life as we know it, and just exaggerating it or making it entertaining. But I think that's done with the most boring of things of waking up, brushing your teeth, going to work. And you live the same experiences, but the end result is so wildly different for different people. It's the same as improv, right? You take the same foundational human relationships or facets of humanity, and then you transform them into wacky situations that have happened, you know? In real life.
Yeah, I mean, one of my sort of favorite tools, or like, I guess, philosophies relating to improv that I also do in a talk that I do for video game developers about narrative design and improv tools, using them in narrative design, is the idea of, like, crazy town and boring town, where, like, if you have a really crazy premise, like monsters, aliens,
raccoons,
the best thing to do is to ground it in, like, relatable, real human emotion. Because obviously people can't relate to monsters and aliens and demons and raccoons because we're not those things. Those things don't exist. Or, I mean, raccoons exist, but we don't relate to them on a personal level. So we have to give them personality and human emotion to be able to relate to them. On the other hand, if you're in a really boring situation, like family dinner, or, you know, hanging out at the bar, if you just talk about normal everyday stuff, that's going to be super boring. So you need to, like, push the extremes of the point of view of the character to find something that, like, is on the edge of, like, believable, in the sense of, like, you know, it's not just silly made up nothing, but, like, you know, really pushing to the extreme of that point of view so that this very boring situation becomes interesting. And, you know, I mean, I think perfect example is, like, pretty much any comedy movie that has a family dinner. It always goes wrong in some way. Someone throws food at something or someone says something really inappropriate. Because that relatable situation, you're already relating to it. And then it's like, oh God, what if that happened at my family dinner kind of thing?
Yeah. I mean, I was reading in a book, about comedy, that sci-fi as a genre is mostly just analogy of, like, environmental causes and
world. It's all just metaphors and representations of current modern day life.
Modern day problems, and it's like sci-fi is problems with other planets that are mapped onto problems we're dealing with our planet. And it was a way that they could talk about environmental issues at a time when it wasn't being talked about.
Yeah.
And they were able to sell it to TV stations through sci-fi because, you know.
I'm also told, this is information I have secondhand, so I might not be perfectly accurate on it, but I think that's, like, a lot of the reason for, like, or, like, there's a lot of, like, Chinese authors who write sci-fi so that they can basically use sci-fi to represent issues that they wouldn't be necessarily allowed to talk about if they were writing it, you know, directly as that issue.
Interesting. I think and there's a lot of great works of art that do this.
So yeah, on that note,
we just heightened the headline about raccoons.
We did
getting drunk.
We did everything except get high as a raccoon. We didn't high in the raccoon.
Imagine doing this podcast while high. There's a podcast, I think, where they get comedians drunk and they recite history. I'm pretty sure that's the show.
Sounds so dumb.
And they that sounds really fun. Anyways.
Yeah. Thank you for joining us here on Heightening Headlines. We hope you've enjoyed this episode. Please don't forget to give us one of those little follow-y things or likey things or ratings or whatever those things are that help us fight the capitalist algorithms that are only there to push us down.
No, we want them. Algorithm's good.
Algorithm.
Team good, algorithm.
Good when it works for us, which relies on you. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Heightening Headlines. Tune in next week for more.